Views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the FM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question for my guest, we're at 907-458-8255. I was going to give you my real estate number, so if you want to call me in real estate, that's 479-7000, but what the heck. Today is a Friday, and usually it's all about Fairbanks, but I have a guest who's in town. It's the Executive Director, Randy Raro, of Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority. Randy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, David. Thanks for having me on here.
You're a busy man. You've been here since Wednesday, and you leave on Saturday.
That's correct. Yes, I've been meeting with several local officials, some business personnel, the university, trying to touch all the bases that I can while I'm here.
You know, ADA does what I call multi-level investments in Alaska. You have things like the Red Dog Mine, the road. You did that. You built and lease out the FedEx hangars. You went down into, say, Ketchikan, and you did some work down there on the dry dock facility. And then what you do is you go provide the infrastructure so large developments save their capital. Then you lease in the facility, so you have a nice rate of return, about 7% on each project.
That's correct. Our mission is set by the legislature is to create jobs and produce economic development. And, beyond that, the legislature even put into our statutes the reason why they felt that was important, and that was that the existence of unemployment in Alaska communities was a negative, very negative, detrimental effect on the people and Alaskans. And that's proven out, in numerous studies that say where you have high levels of unemployment and even underemployment, you have negative health outcomes, you have mental health, higher rates of mental health concerns. So it's not only the economic side of a job, but it's also just the health and well-being.
The socioeconomics.
That's correct.
And then you also partner with banks on lending.
That's correct. That's another part of our program.
Yeah, yeah, large part.
Right.
So you're the big in the middle.
Right. All with the same goal, right, of jobs and economic development. And I really think it's important, for Alaskans to understand why jobs are important and what the benefits are that come with jobs. And most of us have an idea, but a lot of the studies do show that there's real physical, mental health benefits from having jobs and good-paying jobs. And so it's more than just a mine or a shipyard that's mm-hmm. at stake. It's really the health and well-being of our communities.
You grew up in Ketchikan. You saw what happened to your pulp mills, your logging industry, and how that changed.
That's true. I actually worked at the pulp mill. The pulp mill, for those who don't know, was put in place, I think, around 1955, 1960, immediately produced, I think, several thousand jobs, direct and indirect, both at the mill and then at the outlying camps, and, really set an industrial base, for the whole southern southeast, and small businesses grew up around it. Property tax was healthy and paid to the local communities. And, it was really interesting because growing up there, especially if you were a local boy, like I was, you could head out to the pulp mill the day after high school and be hired and put to work immediately, almost how many hours and days you wanted to work. And you could afford to own a house and a boat and, kind of live the Alaska dream.
Also, ADA, as executive director, you oversee the Alaska Energy Authority.
That's correct. I have a counterpart at the Alaska Energy Authority. Curtis Thayer is the executive director on that side of the house. We do work together closely, and his budget runs through the ADA board. And so we're also involved in energy projects, which is interesting. There's a lot happening on that front right now. Of course, with renewable energy, we don't, in terms of energy projects, AEA doesn't get involved in oil and gas that much or things like that, but they do get into the transmission grid and renewable energy projects.
You know, there's always something that Alaska should be doing, and we've had this Ambler Road. how's that going for you now?
You know, the Ambler Road, the history of that project and road is pretty interesting. Those mining claims in the Ambler Mining District were, I think, established in the early 1900s. So there's been mining in the area. In fact, I met a Alaska Native fellow who whose family has worked. He's been involved in the mining there from a local community for generations. You know, so mining's not new to the area. And then the road itself for access, you know, was congressionally designated in ANILCA in 1980. So particularly Senator Ted Stevens, you know, knew we needed access, knew this mining district was important to Alaska and the nation, and set it up so that we would have access. Unfortunately, we're being litigated by a number of entities, and we're going through a supplemental process. Environmental review process.
A supplemental after you get the record of decision.
Correct.
After you get the record of decision. Well, we're going to have another supplemental process. Thank you, correct. Joseph Biden.
Right.
And I don't bring up anything nationally unless it deals with Alaska, and our resources are always interfered with from outside entities.
That's true, and it's unfortunate because it drags out the process. It sends a signal to other mining companies that were a difficult place to do business.
Yeah.
And just makes things more difficult. You know, we'll work through the process. We'll do the best we can with what we have and hopefully come out on the other side with a project.
Explain the Ambler mining consortiums that are available up there.
Right. So there's, I think, five different mines. A couple, Ambler Metals has one. Valhalla has a mine. South 32 has some mining claims, so it's really
large mines.
That's correct. I think I don't know if it's multiples, but it's certainly as large as Red Dog, or perhaps even larger when conglomerated.
And the road, you know, that's also the permitting. There was buy-in from the players, so to speak.
That's correct. The miner, you know, the mines won't ever get established or move ahead without the road. You have to have a way, of course, to get the ore out. And this is the road that Congress said should occur, should be used. And that's what we're trying to participate in and eventually get built.
Seems like in the last year there's been a change with the Native corporations. Were somewhat opposed, and now they're endorsing. So there's a train coming over of support, it seems like.
I think there is some support building for the Ambler project from different sources. You know, when you get down to the communities on the ground, you know, you're never going to get 100% either way, but there is a significant concern for jobs and the ability to anchor residents in the communities so that those communities stay viable and even, you know, grow and increase in population and bring people and families back to the communities.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Randy Ruaro, the executive director of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, in the station with me here. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks Princess Riverside Lodge is seeking local team members for the up-and-coming season. We are offering a $500 sign-on bonus to local residents for the following positions: line cooks, sous chefs, and supervisors. Line cooks earn $20 an hour, sous chefs $22 an hour, and supervisors $21 an hour. Earn a free cruise based on contract completion. If you've ever been interested in working in the travel or food and beverage industry, now is a great time to apply. Go to AlaskaTourJobs.com and apply today. Our team is waiting for your application, and we're eager to speak with you.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Find Out Free.
Everyone is thankful for springtime, and the crew at Pearson Auto want to take this time to say thank you to all of our local medical first responders and employees who work tirelessly all winter long. Nurses, doctors, EMS, police, and firefighters. And to say thank you, Pearson Automotive is giving all of you free synthetic oil changes through the end of May. That's right, a free oil change, which includes a full safety inspection of your vehicle as well. So if you're a first responder, contact Pearson Auto off the Rich or on Airport Way near Pikes and get your much-deserved free oil change from Pearson Auto. Online at PearsonAutoAK.com.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 58. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 35. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 51. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Randy Ruaro, the Executive Director of Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. And just in case one of your sponsors is listening, say hello to Dana.
Sure. Yeah, hello, Dana. Dana Pruse is the chair of the board of ADA.
Nice guy. Yeah, right.
And doing great work there.
Randy, so quit sucking up.
Okay.
We can go back to that after we had our sponsor statement there. But what ADA does is it provides avenues for industry to create jobs.
That's right. And if I can give you just a few statistics off of the Red Dog Mine, which is our most successful project and which would not be in existence without ADA, because at the time the project went forward in 85 and 86, Cominco, who was the former Teck mining company, was struggling through a recession, needed capital to build the road and the port as part of the mine project, and ADA stepped up and provided that. So there's no doubt that Red Dog needed ADA's help to succeed, and it's been very successful. So just a few statistics real quick. $1.3 billion in state and local taxes paid through 2018. Distributions to Alaska Native corporations, $1.6 billion. Those are 7I payments that go out to all Alaska Native Corporation shareholders. That's through fiscal year 2021. $269 million in payments in lieu of taxes paid to the Northwest Arctic Borough, which they use, I think, largely to support their school system.
Mm-hmm.
$49 million in funds paid by the Red Dog Mine to the Northwest Arctic Borough Village Improvement Fund. 790 shareholder jobs for Nana at the Red Dog Mine. That's fiscal year 2021 numbers. 1,467 jobs at the Red Dog Mine, all in. And there's, you know, some numbers that we're still gathering on the benefits of the Red Dog Mine, which would be the associated construction projects and work of the mine over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Probably hundreds of millions more in construction projects and jobs.
When did they start putting in the road?
I believe it was 1987.
Yeah. So you're basically a 40-year generation, two generations of workers have been through there.
That's right. And we may see two more because their plans, I think, are to expand to the Northwest to large deposits there.
And every year you get the same rate of return on that initial investment.
That's correct.
Doesn't matter if it's, you know, you capitalize over 20 years, you're still getting your 7% rate of return on your initial investment on an annual basis.
That's correct. Right. And so if we get these additional mine developments, you know, it could be another several decades of those returns.
I like bugging the chairman of Alaska Housing in regards to his contribution to the state budget versus Ada's contribution to the state budget. And I get to do that.
Well, you should have him on the show.
I do.
have him come in because we think, you know, when you measure it on a comprehensive basis, you know, the numbers we just provided add up to billions in benefits, you know, from one project. And we're hoping to repeat that with Ambler.
And you're looking at a really big project down in Dutch Harbor.
That's right. So there's a geothermal project in Dutch Harbor that has the potential to replace the current fossil fuel generated electricity and at a lower price, which, you know, sometimes the renewable projects don't do that.
Yeah, it's off diesel, no more diesel using.
Right, right, and a lower price, which is great. So we're looking at that project. That project would tie in with some other improvements, you know, that are going on with the city and its grid. And then the Trident plant is going up there as well, which is a large project. So, you know, very positive for that community and I think Alaska.
Very much so. And what about, you know, you're going into the West Susitna access area there too. Roads to Riches that on that side.
Right. So again, an area that mining and mineralization is not new there. Mm-hmm. It's been occurring there since pre-statehood. So it's not a new thing.
You mean back when we were a territory?
Correct. Back when we were a territory. And there's also a large recreational value for Alaskans in that area. Lots of state land, I think over 200,000 acres of state land. And so we're looking at a road and access into that area as well.
I'm going to put you on the spot with this next question. When do you get an open office in Fairbanks?
You know, I hadn't thought of opening an office. We do have an office, at least for the executive staff. We do have an office here for the personnel that work on the Ambler Road.
Mm-hmm.
We have three employees here, but hadn't thought of an executive office.
Well, also, you know, Fairbanks owes such a debt of gratitude to Ada in regards to when you purchased the Fairbanks natural gas system.
That's right.
That was big.
That's right.
That was a game changer.
Yeah, that's a positive, very positive project for the community and Alaska.
You know, you had an entity that owned it, and they had a great rate of return with their business model was 1,000 customers, and that's it. They weren't going to invest any more in the infrastructure. It was needed to supply gas to the entire interior, maybe. And Ada buys it, and they immediately go in, and they start rebuilding up the infrastructure, putting in the big tanks for storage, doing it all, just really. Then they turn it over. I say turn it over. They sold it, but they turned it over to an entity that was in place but almost out of business and made that entity viable. And so it was a twofer. You took an industry and saved it in Fairbanks, expanded it and saved an entity to operate it. So
that's right. That's a positive project that has you know, good things for the community, addition and reduced emissions. And
and now that entity, Fairbanks Natural Gas, they're expanding onto Fort Wainwright. They're over the years, they're going to get rid of the diesel, you know, the coal plant. They're not going diesel. They're going natural gas, independent generation power at each building. So it's really, you know, here you go again. And then that entity, they're getting shipments from Prudhoe Bay now. So you're expanding that industry up there for gas distribution down to Fairbanks.
Yeah, I think Red Dog and other projects are really a good example of how Ada kind of can seed mm-hmm. in a way, or plant the seed and get things up to a takeoff stage.
Yeah.
And then, good things happen from there, and that's what we should do.
So, they're doing this boiler changeout program, natural gas. That's all because Ada came in and bought Fairbanks Natural Gas from the investment entity that was based out of the Tri-Cities in Minnesota. That's where they got it from. And anyway,
different management approach.
Greed is good. I just want more versus we will take a specific rate of return, expand the system, and help the economies. That's what we do. That's our mission.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Interesting. What's going on over on the West Susitna Access?
So on West Susitna, we're into the permitting stage. There are federally designated wetlands present in the area, and that means that triggers a federal permit requirement,
mm-hmm.
Where we have to go to the Army Corps of Engineers for what they call a Section 404 permit.
Wetlands,
that's a whole nother huge issue for Alaska is what's the definition of wetlands, because currently if you go
there's that mud puddle, it's wetlands.
That's right, yeah. Or a mud puddle that's there for a couple days a year, or permafrost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's really, my own personal opinion is that the definition is far out of whack with what Congress intended and to be wetlands, which was really the classic definition of coastal areas and mm-hmm. river, major river areas, but it's now expanded. The bureaucrats at the Corps and EPA have now expanded it to just about anything. And there's a case pending in the U.S. Supreme Court that may pare it back. That Sackett case,
mm-hmm.
Family out of Idaho went to build a home, and I think received a large ticket from the Army Corps for building on wetlands. And it's a long, probably a decade old case by now, but they've been fighting, and
that's what you have to do.
That's what you have to do, and hopefully they'll prevail.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think the state of Alaska, they have a 404 legislation to basically take over administration of it.
That's right. And so there is a proposal I think the governor supports and DEC Commissioner Bruni supports of the state assuming primary control of permitting for wetlands. And that's being debated in the legislature right now. I think one body or the other has approved the funding. The other's debating it, but we'll be watching that.
It's never over, and there's no finish line when it comes to our resource development, all the impetuous items that are thrown in front of us constantly.
Well, that's true, and there are some studies that have been done that rank the federal permitting system in the United States as the worst in the world.
Yeah.
Not due to environmental standards, but due to the
regulatory sign,
the delay and the litigation that's present. Canada and Australia have similar environmental protections, but they're able to get a final permit through in 2 years. We're still finishing the first study in 2 years, and then we're litigating for
20
after that, right? And I think the Kensington mine's probably a good example of that in Southeast, where I think it took them 20 years to get their final permit, and it went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they won by a 5-4 decision. Very unpredictable and delay uncertainty, and that's not probably
that's
best.
That's not
system.
Good for investment.
Right.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a break here. I approve this bumper music. It's from The Doors. So I got Melissa giving us good music, about time. She'll probably get mad at me next week and give us some more Janet Jackson stuff. But we're going to listen to some Doors, and then we're going to go into the Fox News, some state news, some commercials, and some weather. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
Do it, Robbie, do it.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
With an update on that shooting in Atlanta earlier this week, the chief medical officer for the Grady Health System, Dr. Robert Jansen, says two of four victims who survived that shooting still in critical condition. A third is now being released from the hospital. Dr. Jansen said they could have a hard time readjusting to normal life when they get out.
The trauma from a shot wound is not just physical. It's psychological and emotional, and I don't think you can underestimate that impact.
Indeed. Well, police do have a 24-year-old male suspect who was arrested and is going to be charged with murder as one person died. 2024 Democratic presidential candidate Marianne Williamson on the Sean Hannity last night talking about their energy policy.
We should not be getting oil or selling arms, by the way, to countries that hate us, but I also want to see a habitable planet in 100 years.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Time for a feel-good Friday news story. Alaska News Source reports that Peter Lynn Jr. and his wife Susie and their adult son Travis set up shop in Davis Park in Mountain View and Anchorage on Thursday. They joined other providers to assist homeless campers who'd recently been evicted from the Sullivan Arena. Lynn said he'd been watching news coverage of the situation and wanted to do something to help, and it seemed logical to bring their food truck, Alaska's Yummy Choice, into town to offer a free hot lunch. I was brought up in the villages, and we grew up to share whatever you had to share, and I just wanted to give back to the community and just help support, Lynn said. The food truck normally has an extensive menu, but for this round of service, the Lynns pared it down to just a few items in order to feed as many people as possible. People lined up to get barbecued pork sandwiches, hot dogs, chips, water, and sodas. Most who are sleeping in tents now said they appreciated the hot meal. By the end of the shift, the Lynns had done a brisk business. Peter Lynn said he didn't know if he'd be able to provide the service again, but was glad he was able to do it for a day. Have a great weekend.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, we power family road trips. We power bedtime stories. We power our local hospitals. We power connections with friends. We do more than replace batteries and fix phones and tablets. We help our neighbors power their lives. How powerful is that? Visit Batteries Plus for free auto battery testing and free installation, too, at most locations. See batteriesplus.com for details.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Joel's Place is a youth center right here in Fairbanks, but it is so much more. They offer indoor and outdoor activities like a basketball court, a volleyball court, playground equipment, as well as a pup track for bicycling, scootering, and skateboarding. They also offer free meals to youth during their hours of operation. Inside, they have a youth center that has pool tables, ping pong, foosball, and a papa shot. They also have a stage for open mic and concerts. Also offering a safe place for teens to come and hang out, they offer our venue to groups for birthday parties, meetings, and special events. Please contact them for more information and rates. 452-262.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prues in the studio here with Randy Ruaro, the Executive Director of the Alaska Industrial and Development Export Authority. Now, once in a while, ADA will jump in at an opportunity that politically might get them in trouble, such as buying leases at the
Anwar.
Anwar, yeah. And they bought the majority of the leases at Anwar when the Biden administration was looking at shutting it down. There was an opportunity. There was a lease sale that could not be stopped. And ADA, you had a lot of pressure coming from this administration to not open up that. But with the leases that are there, this can be done now in the future for Alaska.
That's correct. And, you know, Anwar represents a huge opportunity for jobs and revenue to Alaska from resource development. And, the estimates are rough, but it's in the tens of billions of dollars, potential benefit for Alaska. That money would go into the state treasury and be used for everything from permanent fund dividends to, you know, the cost of government. So it's a huge potential win for Alaska. It's supported by the community, the only community that's within ANWR, which is Kaktovik.
Yeah.
It's supported by the community. They have their own ANCSA lands that they've been unable to develop inside ANWR. And so we're going to, you know, reach out and form some partnerships with KIC, Kaktovik, and ASRC and see if we can get moving there.
Ready for a phone call?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Randy Ruaro, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad that they've got plans to bring some North Slope gas on down to Fairbanks via truck. So I imagine that probably costs more than bringing trucked up liquefied natural gas up from McKenzie Point area. But and I know that Cook Inlet is supposed to be running out of gas or something, but could you talk a little bit about the economics or the feasibility or the difficulties or the problems with railing up gas over the Alaska Railroad from the McKenzie Point area, you know, if they ever connected the line, that is?
I can speak generally. You know, you have to start with the availability of gas to move, right, which means you're looking at Cook Inlet, what resources are in the inlet, and you get different opinions, right? Some opinions are there's a lot of gas. Other opinions are it's not there, or if it's there, it's in small reservoirs, pockets, kind of pocketed gas, which you'd be have to constantly drill, you know, to get access to. And so I think you have to start with the resource, assuming the resource is there, and then you're looking at railing it up. That means all new rolling stock, I think, the right type of cars to move it. You know, you'd have to look at whether that's cost efficient.
That's a fairly busy rail line.
It is fairly busy, correct. But I haven't done a feasibility analysis of the that would compare and contrast, you know, the different options. But imagine there would be some significant cost for the rolling stock.
I see. Thank you. And I know it would be a sad commentary, but, you know, if we did have a rail line and if Cook Inlet did not have enough, how feasible or economically viable is, I mean, no, it's feasible, but how economically viable is it to ship in gas from someplace else, from, you know, put it on board ships and hook up to Alaska like that? Is that, you know, it's sad to do that when we got gas. But.
Yeah, that would be a very... unfortunate position to be in, right?
Trying to explain that one to the nation.
Yeah.
We have more gas than anyone yet. But due to its location and environmental concerns, we have to ship up gas to Cook Inlet to keep Anchorage going.
Right, and there were some issues with the last federal sale in Cook Inlet in the way it was designed and structured and the royalty rates that were placed onto that sale by the federal Department of Interior that caused some concerns. And so hopefully on the federal side, we'll get better lease sales, ones that are economic, and we can get at some more gas.
Randy, thank you for the phone call. What do you got planned for the weekend?
Well, I'm not sure. I have to work tomorrow, but clean my house or something or other.
Well, it's clean the inside or the outside, because it's, you know, we're coming into spring break, but it looks pretty bleak out there right now.
Actually, what I'm working on right now is sending letters to the legislature about a certain bill that I'm against.
Okay.
Work through that.
You have a great weekend, Randy. Thank you for the phone call. You take care, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, it's interesting that gas or natural resources. And we have more in the world. We have more than most places in the world. We develop it better, more economical, more ecological. And Alaska has its own separate environmental review, more stricter than standard than any place in the world, yet they tie us up.
Well, that's a good point, David. You know, I think that's another thing that needs to be considered when we look at the issue of developing resources in Alaska is what environmental standards are going to apply to the project, and what's the overall impact to the environment versus, you know, forcing that project to be done somewhere else where there are no standards. China, I think China's opening two new coal plants a week. Certainly doesn't seem like they're worried about the environment.
Not a bit.
Well, we're, you know, squeezing ourselves down and imposing a lot of costs on the population.
Impossible environmental regulations to achieve.
Yeah, and we do have the strongest. Alaska has a statute that says there's no waste of oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that same law doesn't exist in Russia. They're flaring, you know, 1,500 wells at the Yamal gas project in Russia. That wouldn't be allowed here.
They're wondering about global warming.
So it is. The standards do matter, you know, and they where you have the strongest protections in the world, like Alaska, that's where development should occur.
Yeah,
you know, it's not oil and gas projects in the Alaska Arctic that are causing, you know, warming. It's other countries and with very slack standards or no standards.
Very true. Very very sad too. You work with local banks to make loans on local projects, too.
That's correct. So we have, in addition to the project side of ADA, we have a banking loan side of ADA, which where we partner up with local banks to finance Alaska businesses and their projects. We're very successful. That's about half our total revenue, I think, a year at least comes from that side of the house. And mm-hmm. we have a 0% default rate. You know, we're very careful about it. And this is all, you know, facts that are contrary to some of the mud that's been slung at ADA by certain groups over the last couple of years. But we do operate carefully. We do perform our due diligence. And, we're successful at it. We're a self-sustaining branch of the state government. You know,
it's interesting that you come in, you take a portion of the risk, so local banks don't deplete their resources, so they can make more loans.
And that's right.
Then they probably administer the loan.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and we have some good banking partners out there, and mm-hmm. We're getting busy. That's a good sign. I was advised by our loan director the other day that business is picking up, applications are picking up. So. Yeah. You know, that's a good sign.
Wells Fargo does not need you.
They don't.
Mount McKinley Bank, Denali State Bank, Northrum Bank, they need you.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you supply our state banks funding for their clientele projects if it meets a financial risk burden.
That's right. That's right. And it's a good partnership. I think we work well with the banks. We'll be meeting with them fairly regularly on into the future on ways to improve the program and make it better. And, it's a good partnership for Alaska.
Fairbanks, we're going to take another commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The truth be told, I do not mind being a septic tank. I stay quite busy. I'm an avid reader. I've taught myself the language of the raven. Fascinating creatures, but horrible gossips. Until recently, I have had aspirations to be the first septic tank on Mars. But I know my job is right here, buried in my family's yard. Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' pumps me out once a year, and I continue to serve my family much better.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitespruce medical.com.
Hello, Fairbanks. It's John Scherzer with the Westmark Hotel and Conference Center. The Westmark is currently seeking local talent to fill a variety of year-round and seasonal positions with our new competitive wages. Get paid over $20 an hour to work as a line cook. Looking to take the next step in the kitchen? Our sous chefs earn over $24 an hour. Start as a kitchen assistant and learn a new skill while making over $16 an hour. We have front-of-the-house positions also. You can earn over $14 an hour bussing tables as a serving assistant. And for all you experienced servers out there, we're still looking for waitstaff for all our dining venues. We have a number of other hotel positions. Our front desk team starts above $17 an hour. There is a variety of shifts available, both full-time and part-time. Apply online over at alaskatourjobs.com and see what we have available. That's alaskatourjobs.com. Apply today and become part of the Westmark crew.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
A mix of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 58. Easterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 35. Tonight, cloudy. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 51. Overcast. Chance for mixed precipitation Sunday. Chance for scattered showers on Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Randy Ruaro in the studio here with me. The legislature is in session, and they're always trying to do something with ADA, good or bad. What is it this year?
Actually, this year, David, there was not a reintroduction of a bill that would have reformed ADA. That was introduced by a representative that did not get reelected.
Which representative was that?
Well, actually, I think he did get reelected. I think it was Representative Josephson.
That's all I have to say. He is quite uber left, and unless it's environmental, you know, they're mining, farming does not create jobs. Government creates jobs.
Well, so that bill was not reintroduced to my knowledge. So I think ADA's in pretty good shape this year in the legislature. They're discussing, debating the permanent fund dividend and the 404 program, the primacy for the state, and many other things, education funding.
Mm-hmm.
But I think ADA's in pretty good shape this year.
Yeah, they have too many other sources of conflict within themselves. You know, how much will the capital budget be versus the dividend versus what's going to school funding? You know, that triangle of balance.
Right. Balance is the key, I think, you know, and there's different views on that, right?
Yeah, and, you know, with the... You know, I look at it here, you have the Willow Project that's going to go, and that's a game changer. And so I look at ADA and I say to myself, with all the local infrastructure or companies that are going to be being built, you're probably going to be a key player in lending and expanding the resources to help service Willow.
Well, and I'd add the PICA project as well, which is often and moving ahead and actually, I think, free of litigation, which is rare,
yeah,
right, for a project in Alaska. But that's a large project. And so, you know, between the two of them, it's really a positive move ahead, you know, for oil and gas production on the North Slope.
What's the next step with looking at the Ambler Road?
So on the Ambler Road, procedurally, where we're at is that the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, federal agency, which is in charge of writing the environmental permitting for the project, has decided to take a second look at it. They're working and reviewing the issues, and they're going to produce a supplemental draft environmental statement, I think, by the fall. And at that point, it'll be open to public comment. ADA can comment. You can comment. People in Fairbanks can comment into the process. And then the agency will take those comments, review them, and then produce a final decision after that, I think around hopefully Christmas, end of the year.
After an original decision was made.
This is all correct, supplementing the original decision, which, you know, there's different opinions on that decision, but, you know, a lot of work was done in the original decision.
By a different administration.
By a different administration, that's correct. So that's the process we're in, and you know, Ada's in it for the long haul, and
yes, you are,
and we're going to push for it.
Oh boy, how many employees does Ada have?
Ada has, I think, roughly 88 employees, and that's split between the Ada side and the Alaska Energy Authority side. So we're really a pretty small...
Yeah, lean.
Yeah, we're pretty lean. I mean, there's about 10 senior staff, you know, that I interact with closely on a daily basis. And so we're, you know, fairly small entity. We do, like I said, we're self-sustaining. We pay for ourselves from our operations.
On a balance sheet, what's your net worth?
I think net worth is up around $1.2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Which includes, you know, physical assets and funds, mm-hmm. you know, that we have. But you
investments,
know,
yeah,
right. And when you get to a large financing a large project, ANWR or ADA or these other things, or not ADA, Ambler, you know, that takes a lot. So
where do you go get your funds from?
Well, the legislature, a couple places. The legislature can appropriate funds like they've done on Ambler and West Sioux, which is then matched by ADA funds or can be.
And then they also have the Interior Energy Project in 2013 under Governor right. Parnell, which was wonderful.
Right, and any bonds over $25 million, I think the legislature has to approve. So we can bond, you know, we do a lot of bonding and can bond for projects as well. So we've got a couple different avenues, you know, to get financing in. You know, we're looking at some projects, ANWR and Ambler and West Sioux, that are really, you know, generational projects.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the West Sioux Sitna goes. That's going to be a real interesting one. You know, it's not going to be reflective of Fairbanks economics, but, you know, mining roads to resources is good in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get a road to a resource, you can start doing something economically for the state of Alaska.
That's right. And, you know, so often it seems like, well, Alaska has large amounts of resources. They always seem to be located where there isn't a road or in a difficult area to access. And in the case of the West Sioux, like I say, there's been mining in that area. There's been access to that area. Historically, so it's still a long road, you know, to get in there. But you know, the jobs and the economic development are very significant. And as we discussed earlier, you know, the positive effect of jobs is very important for people to be aware of. It's not just about financial returns.
Yeah, it's you're creating livelihoods for many Alaskans.
That's right. Good paying jobs. I think mining jobs are some of the best in the state. $100,000 a year for a starting miner, and probably more than that if you move up the chain with running equipment.
Let's look at Dutch Harbor again. Where is it at, and what's the process for it?
Right. So the project is a geothermal energy project at the Makuchin Volcano Site, which is active. It's not active in the sense of that it's, you know, ready to explode or anything, but it's got active geothermal heat and liquids in it. And ADA and AEA drilled that exploration well, I think, first back in the early 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Spent, I think, $5 or $7 million exploring, and we're successful. You know, the well hit the right thing, and the resource is there. It's just never, you know, until now,
not been developed.
It's not come forward that you have to build a road to the site and do some other things that are, you know, they're costly.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential benefit to the community and the state is significant.
You know, I like explaining it to people this way. You're developing something in a part of the state that doesn't have a tree, and it's not because of the longitude or latitude. It's because of a little wind factor.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't
that's
have a
right.
tree.
That's right. Well, and You know, the Aleutian Chain is part of the Ring of Fire, mm-hmm. and it's got massive. We look at that project as not only, you know, the Makushin geothermal project, but if it works, and we hope it will, it's really a example of that could be expanded, you know, not only right on site and but grown, but
this is you take this and rubber stamp in another location.
Right.
This can be done at other locations.
Right. Lots of geothermal potential in the Aleutian Chain, for sure.
Wow. And, you know, that can help get a Navy Coast Guard cutter or an icebreaker somewhere.
Right. And, I mean, excess power. Energy power can be used to create hydrogen, ammonia, or some of these other things that are, you know, part of the trend towards you know, reducing emissions. And
is Ada involved in any fishery projects?
I don't know that we're directly involved in fishery projects. We do have the shipyard in Ketchikan, which does build, you know, can build and has built, you know, new fishing boats. I think John Jensen from Petersburg had a really nice boat built there. But we're looking to expand that and be talking to CDQ fleets and processing fleets that have companies that have their own fleets, and we're going to try to get much more boat building activity going on in Ketchikan, and you know, there's other shipyards, the JAG shipyard in Seward. We'd be happy if they were busy too.
What's next on your schedule?
I've got a couple more meetings today. A meeting with a representative of some mining companies, a meeting with a representative of the university on the drone program, which is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get filled in on that and whether there's any opportunities for Ada to participate in the development of the drone program and the activities that are going on there. So I think the university's doing some really good research in some areas that could be very beneficial to the state.
Good to hear. Well, we got about 2 minutes left, sir. How do you want to end the show?
I'd just like people to know that Ada's working hard. Staff are working hard. We're looking for opportunities to create jobs, and jobs are definitely much more than just a income. You know, they actually have a positive physical and mental health benefit, lots of other social economic benefits to having a job, and that's our mission and that's our focus. And we'll be working hard to increase those types of good-paying jobs wherever we can find them.
And you'll be assisting local lenders and local infrastructure here to do it.
That's right. That as well, yep.
That's I don't know if that's your mission statement, but it's what you do.
Yeah, and that does have a job effect, you know, so that's all positive.
Hmm. How do you like being in Fairbanks during, you know, the no leaves on trees and snow's going and a little trash on the ground?
I like Fairbanks. It reminds me of my home community, Ketchikan, and not in temperature, but just in the residents and the people are good, and I like being here.
Good to hear. Any plans for this Saturday before you leave? Things that you're doing?
This Saturday.
Tomorrow.
I'll probably, I may have a meeting in the morning, then I'm flying back to Anchorage and back to the grind.
How many meetings did you have while you were up here?
I probably had, I would say, 8 to 10.
You know, if you had an office up here, a lot of that could be done for you.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's right. I have to look into that.
Well, Randy, I really appreciate you being able to come up here and visit Fairbanks and being on the show. Ada is such an important component of the economics of Alaska and Fairbanks, and thank you for being able to share with Fairbanks what you do.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and appreciate all the support.
Fairbanks, I will see you next week on Monday. I've got John Lorkey. We're going to talk about Alaska Gold Panther. Season's coming up. Randy, you have a safe flight home. And Fairbanks, I'll see you on Monday.